My name is Pastor Justin Mann, and man, it's my privilege and honor to share with you from the Bible today. And we are beginning a brand new series called At the Movies. Everybody say, At the Movies. And for the next couple of weeks, we're going to be digging into some of the great stories that have been told from Hollywood and have been told the movies that we all know and love, and we're going to be using those to illustrate how much God loves us. Amen. So we're going to dig right in here today. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, and we're looking at Captain America Civil War today, because you know I'm not going to do an At the Movie series and not have some kind of Marvel. They're not all going to be Marvel superhero movies, but I got to have one. I got to have one. You know what I mean? Is that okay if I just do one? Okay. Or can I do all of them? Okay, I'll just do one. Okay. So it's Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24 says this. Says, there are friends, and the New Living Translation has that in quotes because it's being a little sarcastic. I love that the Bible is sarcastic sometimes. Because the Bible is sarcastic, it gives me permission to be sarcastic. Amen. There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. Say that with me. A real friend sticks closer than a brother. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. I thank you so much for your presence, for your anointing, God, and for just meeting with us here in these few moments today. And Jesus, I ask that as we look at your word together, as we crack open the great book that you have given to us to be the God book for our lives, Lord, I pray, God, that you will enable us and empower us to hear your voice, Lord, to receive everything you want us to receive, God, to leave this place changed and with a greater revelation of who you are in our lives. In Jesus' name. Why don't you put your hands on your belly real quick and just read this after me. Say, Jesus, speak to me today. Open up my eyes. Open up my ears. Let me hear what you want me to hear. Let me see what you want me to see so I can do what you want me to do and be everything you've called me to be. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Now, if you hadn't put two and two together, let me just give you the spoiler real quick here for today. Guess what, guys? Jesus is the friend that sticks closer than a brother. Turn your neighbor and say, neighbor, Jesus is that friend. John chapter 15, verse 15, if you could put that on the screen for me, I'm going to read that. John 15, 15, Jesus says, I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you, say that's me. Now you say, that's me. Let's do it, try it one more time. Now you say, that's me. He's talking to us. Now you are my friends since I've told you everything the Father told me. Now listen, let's follow this frame of logic with me just a little bit, okay? Listen, if Jesus is that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and if Jesus has now called you and I friends, what does that mean for you and me today? That means this. That means that Jesus is a friend for you personally, for me personally, that is sticking closer than even a brother. Guys, I've got real good news for you because some people have this idea of God and this idea of Jesus that when I'm doing good, when I'm behaving properly, Jesus is with me. But if I do anything to upset Jesus, if I break any of the commandments, if I have any failures in my life, then Jesus is not my friend anymore, and I've got to get back in the good graces of the big man upstairs or however you want to say it. Listen, I've got good news for you. Let me ask you something. Have you ever experienced this in your life, in this great 2019 age of social media and all the things we get to deal with? Have you ever went to go send a message or just stalk someone on Facebook and discovered that you weren't friends anymore with them? Anybody ever lived through that moment? Just me. It's one of those things that infuriates you if you let it, but then when you really think about what's going on, it's like, why am I upset about this? I've had that happen to me. Have you ever unfriended anyone on Facebook or unfollowed anyone? Isn't that an amazing sense of power you have, right? If you do it on Facebook, there's like five steps, it feels like, to unfriend. So I know this because I've unfriended hundreds of people. I've only done it a couple. But like when you unfriend someone, like if you hit that unfriend button, it's like Facebook shows up. are you sure you want to unfriend them? You can, it gives you, and then it gives you other options. You ever seen, like, it says you can just block this person's content. You can just choose to unfollow them. You do not have to unfriend them. And depending on your level of frustration or whatever, you can, like, that unfriend is like the ultimate, I don't want you in my life anymore, almost, at least as far as social media and Facebook is concerned. But here's the good news. I got great news for you. I got great news for you and me today. Listen to me close now. These two scriptures, these, I could give you 100 other scriptures that would back this principle up, but just these two scriptures alone tells me one thing that I want you to take away from this today. Listen to me. Jesus will never and does not unfriend you and me. Amen? Jesus doesn't unfriend you and me. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And this movie, more than anything, I think really illustrates the principle, because if you know the movie, I'll just give you a quick little plot synopsis. There's a lot of subplot and a lot of nuance going on here in Captain America Civil War. But one of the main themes of this movie is this, is that what puts Captain America and some of his guys at odds with Iron Man and some of the other guys from the Avengers is this idea that Captain America is staying loyal and sticking next to one of his friends and fighting for the one of his friends that no one else thinks is worth the time or is worth saving. However, Captain America, of course it's Steve Rogers, of course it's the super soldier Captain America, steps up and says, you know what? I'm not going to abandon my friend, even when I probably should, when he deserves to do so. I'm going to unfriend me and you. Guess what that means? Let me take that one step further. It means that Jesus sticks closer to you and me. Jesus sticks with you and I through thick and thin, and he sticks by your side, and he sticks by my side. Guess what? On my good days and on my bad days. Let me say it this way. Jesus sticks close to me in spite of me. Jesus has decided, I'm going to stick next to you through thick and thin in spite of yourself, in spite of all of your own efforts to try to create an atmosphere and give me every reason not to stick. Jesus says, I'm going to stick next to you on your good days and your bad days, when you are at your very worst and when you are at your very best. In fact, get this principle through your idea, because this is where relationship with Jesus becomes truly transforming and life-changing. Listen to me close. Get this. Jesus' friendship does not change based on my performance. Jesus being a friend that sticks closer than a brother is not dependent upon me being a good little boy or me being a bad little boy. It's easy for me to think about Jesus being my friend when I'm a good boy, when I'm following all the rules, when I'm crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and doing all the stuff that I'm supposed to do. It's easy to think, of course, Jesus is my friend. I'm doing all the good stuff that I'm supposed to do, that I've read in the book to do, that the preacher has told me I should do. It's easy to think of Jesus as a friend on that moment. But can I tell you what that is, friend? Listen to me. If my understanding of Jesus being my friend is dependent upon my ability to perform and be a good boy or a good girl and follow the rules, then guess what that's called? That is called religion. Religion says, do this, don't do that, and you can be a friend of God. However, a true relationship with God begins to form in my life. And can I tell you where some of my most intimate, deepest moments of understanding Jesus was my friend, truly my friend, that sticks closer than a brother. Listen, guys, it wasn't on the good days. It's not been on the good days when I went to bed and laid my head on my pillow and thought, man, Justin Bradley has really outdone Justin Bradley today. He has done all the good stuff. I mean, I prayed, I read my Bible, I didn't flip that guy off that cut me off or down on Main Street today. I didn't raise my voice at my kids today. I did everything right. I didn't even have any bad or impure thoughts today. Justin Bradley has done so good, and of course Jesus loves Justin Bradley today. Friend, it wasn't in those moments that I've known Jesus as my friend. It's in the moments when Justin Bradley has laid his head on his pillow, knowing that I have failed miserably, knowing that I have done everything wrong, knowing that I've done everything wrong and then some, and yet I still hear the voice of God, I still sense the Spirit of God, those are the moments I've recognized Jesus as a friend. More than the good times, it's been in my failures. And when you begin to understand that Jesus' friendship is not based on your ability to perform, that Jesus' friendship, that Jesus has decided to stick closer to you than a brother, whether you are good or bad, it's simply an act of faith and simply an act of his mercy and grace. When I begin to understand Jesus is my friend, when I fail and when I mess up, let me tell you something, that's when your life and your walk with God will truly begin to take shape, and when life and transformation will truly begin to take place. Amen? When I begin to know him on my worst days as still my friend. Listen, I want to hear this. I want you to hear this closely. Not because this is religion's great fear. If we tell people that Jesus still loves them when they fail, then what is to stop people from just willingly living in sin? Here's the thing. When I say, that knowing Jesus as my friend, knowing Jesus loves me in spite of myself, in spite of my worst moments, in spite of my failures, in spite of my shortcomings, listen, if that breeds anything other than humility and meekness in me, then I have not yet truly met Jesus. Amen? If I hear a message like that, and that begins to breed hypocrisy, and I begin to walk out going, well, then I can just do whatever I want. No, friend. Listen, because in my failures, I still know Jesus. I still sense his presence. I still hear him speaking to me through his word. I still sense him saying, Justin, I've got a call in your life. Justin, I've got a plan for your life. Justin, it's not over. Justin, get back up. Justin, try again. Justin, knock the dust off. Justin, do it again. Listen, it's in those moments. Listen, that does not breed hypocrisy, friend. That breeds humility. Friendship with Jesus breeds humility, never hypocrisy. Amen? And let me just encourage you with this morning. Listen to me now. Don't you unfriend Jesus because of your failure. Don't decide Jesus isn't going to be a friend to you anymore because you've made some mistakes. Don't you willingly take yourself out of the game. Don't you willingly stop following Jesus because you've got some issues you're working on and you somehow wrongly and religiously think that because you've got these issues, all of a sudden, Jesus isn't your friend anymore. I believe there are far too many people that probably are sitting home on Sunday morning that are not following Jesus, that have no idea and perspective of his purpose and calling and destiny and plan for their lives. And it's not because they're wicked. It's not because they don't love Jesus. It's not because they don't want to follow Jesus. It's because they think that their failure has disqualified them from knowing Jesus. And I've got good news for you. Jesus has never disqualified you. He's never unfriended you. He's never said, well, you didn't jump through the right hoops or you missed the mark here, so I'm not your friend anymore. So if Jesus hasn't done that to you, friend, don't do that to him. Don't decide I'm not following Jesus because I've got these failures. Listen, he is your friend in spite of your failures. He's sticking close to you in spite of your sin. So don't unfriend Jesus because of your own failures. He is the same friend on your worst day and on your best day. Why does Jesus stick? Why does he stick at my worst moments? Why does he stick in spite of the worst things that I've done? Knowing full well all of my mistakes, all of my failures, all of my shortcomings, all of my sin, why does he choose to still stick? Why does he stick up for me? Why does Captain America keep sticking up for Bucky Rogers, the Winter Soldier? Well, I don't have time to tell you the whole tale that's weaved through 15 movies and 8 years of cinema, but here's what you need to know. See, Captain America and the Winter Soldier, they go way back. They were good friends. In fact, they were best friends before either one of them were ever quote-unquote super soldiers. They knew each other way back in the day before World War II, before Captain America became Captain America, before Bucky became the Winter Soldier. They were boys. They were friends. And Captain America, listen to me now, Captain America knows the pre-super Winter Soldier, and the Winter Soldier knows the pre-super Captain America. And I think in that, listen, let me tell you exactly why Jesus sticks with you and me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 says this. For we, say that's me. Okay, three of us, let's all try to get that together now. For we, say that's me. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. This scripture tells you and me that when we were formed together in our mother's womb, Jeremiah chapter 1, God in the Old Testament told the prophet Jeremiah, he said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. That means that before your mom and your dad shared a milkshake and you came out, I knew you. Y'all didn't know that's how that happened? We love milkshakes at my house. That's why I got four kids. Just kidding. Sorry. But he says, I knew you before you were ever formed. I knew you. Now, we're born, we live, we make decisions, we make choices. Some things we do, some things I cause to happen, some things happen to me. But somewhere in there, that thing that God created us to do because of sin, because of the broken and fallen, unredeemed world that we live in, we get off track, we get off path, and we get away from that original creation that God put inside of our mother's womb that is us. But Jesus knows the person that you and I were created to be. See, he knows the me before life happened. He knows the me before I made the wrong, stupid decision. He knows the me that I'm supposed to be without this thing called sin that I struggle with. He knows the me, and he knows the you, that you are perfectly called, purposed, destined, and were created to be. And I've got news for you. It is that you that Jesus is sticking next to. It is not the one that has failed and is broken and is trying to figure out how to make it all work and is trying to figure out how to get back on God's path. No, that's not why Jesus is sticking next to you. He is sticking next to you and me. He is a friend that sticks closer than a brother because he sees the one, the you that God created for good works, the masterpiece that God created for good works a long, long time ago, and he is still willing to fight, to give up his life, to stick close to that you. Because it's that you that Jesus is constantly trying to shape through the Holy Spirit. It is that you that Jesus is trying to form, that Jesus is trying to get you and I back to. And friend, it is that you that Jesus, in fighting for his friend, Captain America basically gives up everything because he saw something in his friend that nobody else could see. He knew the previous version from way back. And in the same way, guys, Jesus, knowing who you and I were created to be, fought and gave up everything for the person that we were created to be so that we could one day become that. How Jesus fought was not with lasers or super formulas, super serums and shields, but in John 15:13, Jesus said this. He said, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, I don't even have to hear Jesus call me a friend, although he did, right in the same chapter of the Bible. He said, I now call you friends. But I don't even have to hear that. All I have to know is what Jesus did for me to understand that in not just with his words, but with his actions, he has called you and I friends. Because he said, no one has any greater love than that one lay down their life, his life, for a friend. And friend, listen, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did exactly that. Jesus went to bat for you and me. He fought for you and me. He didn't go to war. He didn't pick up a gun. He didn't pick up a sword. Didn't pick up a pistol. That wasn't the kind of fight it was. The kind of fight was this. The kind of fight he fought was where he gave up everything of himself in our place for you and me. And he did that. Listen, he did that. He did that not because we are his enemies. He did that not because he's upset or angry or mad at you and me. He did that because he calls us friends. And then showed us exactly what depths and lengths he was willing to go to make that friendship real. Can we stand all over his place this morning? And if you would just take a second, close your eyes, because I've just got one more little nugget, but I want you to just take a second. Let's just get rid of any distractions. Let's just take a second to let this word and let Jesus get real personal and just think about him and you and forget about everybody else around you for a moment. This is the last thing I want to share with you this morning before we pray and end our time together. Jesus fought. Jesus gave up to the point of even his very last breath. He did that. Listen, he did that all for you and me before either one of us, any of us, ever did anything to earn it. He went to bat for you and me before we ever did anything to deserve it or earn it. Now, what that means is this. Why that is important and significant to understand is this. If Jesus called me his friend before I ever did anything to earn it, do you know what that means? That means that there's nothing I can do to unearn being called his friend. If I've been given something that I did not earn, I cannot do anything to unearn it. It has already been given to you and me. And you may be sitting here this morning and you may feel like you have a little devil in your ear trying to whisper to you and undo everything I'm telling you today. Trying to tell you, well, that's for somebody else who's not as bad as you. That's for somebody else who hasn't made the choices you have. That's for somebody else who hasn't lived through what you live. The stuff you've accomplished in life, the stuff you've gone through in life, the choices you've made in life, that you're somehow beyond that. Can I tell you something? Listen, if that's what you're thinking, if that's what you're hearing in your mind and your heart, I've got good news for you. It is exactly for you that I'm talking to. And is it exactly for you that Jesus did these things for? And friend, because he gave it to you before you ever earned it, there is nothing that you could do now, presently, or in the past, or in the future to ever unearn it. And today, I want to give you a chance. I want to give you a moment. You are in this place. You are in this building right now, this moment, to begin to know Jesus as your friend. For some of you in this place this morning, God has a fresh, new relationship with Jesus that he wants you to start right now today. And that's the whole reason you're here this morning. For some of you, You may know Jesus as Lord. You may know Jesus as Savior. You may know Jesus as King. You may know Jesus as God. And you know you're on your way to heaven and you know him. But man, for some of you, Jesus wants to take that another step in that relationship and in that walk. And he wants you to know him as friend today. He wants you to know him as friend today. If you're in this place this morning, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you down front. I am in just a moment going to ask you to raise your hand. I believe that something happens. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. And I believe he put that out there so strongly for us because he understood that there is something happens when I respond publicly to what God is doing privately in my heart. It just brings those worlds together and seems to cement the move and what God is working in my heart. So I'm not going to call you down front and embarrass you and make you walk down an aisle, but I am going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. If you're in this place this morning, you say, you know what, preacher? I need to know that Jesus this morning. I thought that I was out of reach. I thought that wasn't for me. I thought maybe I'd done some too much stuff. But man, I want to know this Jesus that's fighting for me. I want to know this Jesus that called me his friend and laid down his life for me. In just a moment, I'm going to invite you to lift up your hand. And then we're going to pray together. And I'm going to pray for every single one of us in this place this morning that we would all know Jesus as our friend. But right now, if that's you, you say, man, I need to know that Jesus that's fighting for me. I want to know that Jesus that laid down his life for me. Listen, the only way for you and me to ever get back or to ever uncover or to ever discover who God created me to be long ago is through Jesus. It's through Jesus. It's through following Jesus. And if you're in this place this morning, that's not where you are, you have an opportunity right now to make that decision and say, I'm going to follow that Jesus that fought for me. I'm going to follow that Jesus that gave up his life for me and that calls me his friend. If that's where you are this morning, I'm going to count to three and I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. And I believe you're going to make the best decision you could ever possibly make, which is become a follower of Jesus. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I believe the Holy Spirit's already moving in hearts. One, God loves you. He's not mad at you. Two, this could be your day right now in this moment. Three, raise your hand all over this building. Raise your hand all over this room right now. Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir. Amen. Let's pray together. I want everyone in this room to pray this out loud with your own ears so that you can hear it. And then I'm going to pray for every one of us that we know Jesus is friend. The worship team is going to dismiss us with a song. Everyone pray this prayer with me out loud so you can hear it with your own ears. Say, Jesus, I come to you right now, just like I am, a sinner who has sinned. But I believe that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead, and that you did it all just for me. You are the Son of God. You are my Savior, and you are my friend. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for sticking close to me. Help me to stick close to you every day of my life from this moment on. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I pray over each one of us today, Lord, that we would know you as friend like never before. Lord, I pray that you will show yourself to us as a friend that sticks closer than a brother, as a friend that is fighting for us, as a friend that has laid down his life for us. And Lord, I pray that in so doing, we will discover and we will get to know the person that God Almighty has created us and destined us to be long ago. And Lord, I pray that we will know you as our friend, not just on our good days, but in our bad days. Not just on our bad days, but on our worst days, Lord. God, let us not unfriend you because of our failure, because you have certainly not unfriended us because of our failure. In Jesus' precious name, I pray. Make it real, make it evident, make it the air we breathe today in this place this morning, I pray. Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Let's worship for a moment this morning before we're done.